I said, well, Dick, if you mean saved, yes, I got saved last night. So you ain't going back over to Todd's and them places with us, hmm? No, I'm not. He's going to give you 2 weeks, and you'll be back. Cadillac-y, Cadillac-y, chooky-looky, went on in old Motley Ford. He didn't see me no more for about 5 years, and I come home from Lee College, where I was taking the opportunity to study the Bible and prepare myself to be a man of God and preach the Word of God. And I met him. He was all tooted up, come down the street a wobbling. He come up to me, he says, you didn't come back, did you? I said, no, I didn't, and I won't be back. Praise the Lord! You have to have the nature of Jesus to live the life of Jesus. And he don't transform a crowd, he transformed an individual. You, me. And unless you have the life of Christ, you're not going to heaven. The nature of Christ. That goes for you young people. You can't go to heaven on daddy or mama's coattail. You can't go to heaven with a preacher that's going. Because your dad was a preacher or mother was a good woman. You're not going to heaven because of that. You've got to accept Christ and have the nature of Christ and live the life of Christ for you. Number one, an individual. As an individual, you're important to God. The Lord never went around choosing crowds. He chose one. You read the history of Christ calling his disciples. He called one at the time. One at the time. He looked at them after he got them collected together, collectively. John the 15th chapter verse 16, he said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. He'd go down by the seaside, he'd see John, I want you. Peter, I want you. James, I want you. Went by where a fellow was collecting taxes. Name was Levi. Or really his name was Matthew, but he was a Levite. He says, come follow me. And he left his old tax collecting job and took off with Jesus. The Lord saves individuals. He don't save crowds. He don't save a family. He saves one at a time. You may all get saved the same night, but he deals with you individually. When you want healing, you have to seek the Lord for it. The preacher might have faith. He might anoint you with oil. But you had to seek God for yourself. You must seek God and find God for your own personal need. He deals with you. He gives faith to you. He imparts faith by hearing the Word of God to you. And if you don't receive it, then you won't find the need of your life that you're desiring. You must seek it to find it. When the prodigal son got in the hog pen, Luke the 15th chapter, he spent everything his father had shared with him of his inheritance when he left home in rebellion. When he got in the hog pen and got hungry, oh Lord, you let an old backslider get hungry. You let some old boy or girl's been raised up in a good Christian home, as long as you support their habits and their sinfulness, they're not going to turn to God. Let them get in the hog pen. Amen. Cut the money off. Let them get in need. No food. No rent money. God have mercy. Now you might see an old bum out here in town square somewhere laying out there and drunk and dial out in the gutter. He wasn't raised by no Christian mother and father. That Christian boy, or that mother and father's got an old son out here that's wayward, and they're praying for him. God's going to deal with him. God's going to bring him back somehow or send somebody to him. But we got to remember that prodigal son got in that hog pen and the Lord dealt with him as an individual. He was among a crowd there of his friends. He wasted his father's substance with riotous living with his old pals that were perverts like he was. But one day his friends left him. They wrote an old song back in the 30s. says, tell me, where is the gambling man? Oh, tell me, where has he gone? Oh, tell me, where is the gambling man? Oh, tell me, where is he gone? His friends all left him one by one. And his mother said, boys, don't you go. My son that wrecked my heart and home has fell dead upon the floor. A mother that hadn't been faithful to God. Oh, tell me, where's the gambling man? Oh, tell me, where has he gone? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord says if we'll serve him like Noah, he'll save our house. When Noah began building the ark, he didn't have any kids, but he had kids in the 120 years of preparing for that storm. He got his children saved. They married three girls. He got them saved and in the ark. The old prodigal son in the hog pen remembered home. He remembered his father's house. He remembered the clean life that his father demanded for him to live. There he is, nasty, filthy, debauched in sin and degradation. No food, no friends, and a long ways from home. And the Bible said he came to himself and says, I know what I'll do. Three things that a Christian in this affluent generation won't do. A backslidden, lukewarm Christian. He says, I'm going to my father and say, I've sinned. I've failed. I've been wrong. I'm going home and confess and repent. Boy, them three things you can't get the average Christian, the backslidden Christian in the pulpit and out of the pulpit and in the choir and in the pew today to do. The church is lukewarm and spewed out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. They will not admit they failed. They won't admit they've been wrong. They won't admit they've sinned. And God's not going to forgive them until they do. God don't forgive you on a halfway profession of faith in his mercy in true repentance. You got to go all the way with God. There's an old song a lady wrote a century ago. Charlotte Elliott. She was a sinner. She got saved one night out of a great meeting. I forget where it was, in Billy Sunday's or D.L. Moody's revival tent. She went home after she got saved. God dealt with her, convicted her, and saved her. She was a kind of a bad woman. She wrote that song, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that I'm coming now to thee. Oh, Lord, I come. I come. Just as I am. Just as I am. Not your buddy, not your wife, not your husband, not your son or daughter, your mother, your father, your neighbor. God looks at you and me. And I'm going to tell you, it's a wise person that you look at yourself and save yourself by taking heed to yourself first and to the doctrine. And then you can save your family and others that will hear you, that will listen to you and watch you and see your example and hear the words that you speak that will bring life eternal if they'll only believe it. Praise God. There's a lifestyle of a Christian that we must live for others, that we can touch them and they'll be blessed. Just as I am, Lord, I'm coming home. What the world needs here in these closing days of the age of man, when the evening shadows have lengthened, the sun is set, we're living in a twilight zone between sundown and the darkness that's swiftly falling, that spiritual night that's coming upon this generation of the end time. The Antichrist and his false prophet, the signs are everywhere. The apocalyptic signs of God's judgment can be seen as you read the newspaper and hear the newscast and just visualize as you go down the streets in most any community as you see the signs of apostasy and degeneracy and depravity almost everywhere. Cursing, drunkenness, crime. Lord have mercy sakes in this world. Sin on every hand. And what this world needs in this hour of a terrible impending, long, dark night of violence and natural disasters and God's judgments. What we need and what the average individual needs is a higher standard of living, a great realization of the privilege and dignity of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. My Lord, have mercy. We need a higher and a more noble concept of the individuality of a Christian in God's dealing with us. Quit trying to fit into the crowd. Quit trying to be lost in a crowd. Quit trying to lose your identity in the midst of a group and stick yourself out there as a light, as a guidepost, as a beacon, as an individual member of the body of Christ whose light is shining and penetrating this Stygian darkness that will cause others to know and come to that safety of the lighthouse that is shining out, piercing the darkness and warning them of the gathering storm. Individuality. We need the right concept of this individuality, that God deals with an individual. In the church today, it's quite classic to put all preachers in one little sack and shake them up and see which one to come out first. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't put all the preachers in one category and one group in the Word of God, and He still doesn't. I don't belong to this great big group of preachers. God called me out of them.
Amen.
I have that nobler and higher concept of the individuality of a man of God and a true Christian and a saint, that God is separated from the crowd. I don't want to get lost in the crowd. That's what many Christians try to do. I remember the story of Jesus.